We're in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, I'm going to give you the second part of what we had last week. Wanted to do it all last week, but there was just no way. But the clock's moving really slow today, so I should have plenty of time. Romans chapter 5. That scared them over here. Oh no, somebody unplugged the clock. Romans chapter 5. We're going to be looking, I'm going to go ahead and read from verse 6 on through 11. We did verses 6, 7, and 8 last week. We're going to be looking at 9, 10, and 11 today, but I'll start in verse 6. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this truth. The truth that having been justified, Lord God, by faith, we have peace with you. Father, the truth that we have been reconciled. Lord God, the truth that there is more to this than just being forgiven of our sins. There's more, and there's a greater gift, Father. The gift of life. We just praise your name that, Lord, you have worked through Paul here to show us this truth. The truth that will spur us to live in such a way to show others Jesus Christ. We love you and honor and worship your name. Through Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've come to this point in Romans knowing that Paul wrote the book. He wrote the book about being justified by faith. Now, that's a concept that sounds easy. Justification by faith alone. Sounds pretty basic, pretty easy, but it's, especially in chapter 5, as we get into it, especially in the next several weeks, we're going to see what that means. It's an amazing truth. But he wrote in such a way to help us understand that without Christ, we're condemned. Whether we are moral, whether we are evil, whether we are good people, bad people, whatever, we're condemned without Jesus Christ. He shows us that in chapters 1 through 3. And then he gets to chapter 4 and talks about Abraham. And now Abraham, long time ago, the man who was way back in the Old Testament, the man who Israel really looked up to, how he was justified by faith. Same as us. The only way to be justified is by faith. And Abraham was that way. So he shows them that, not that he wasn't justified by his works, that he was never justified by his ceremony, the ceremony that he kept, or the law, none of that. But because we are justified by faith, we can have peace with God, just like Abraham. So we not only see that, but we also see that we exalt. We exalt in God, we exalt in Christ, we exalt even in our tribulations. We looked at that at the beginning of chapter 5. So at the beginning of chapter 5, he starts talking specifically to Christians, but then he widens it and broadens it and talks about the world as we get in toward the end of chapter 5. So right now where we're at, he's talking to Christians specifically, because he says in verse 1, therefore having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're talking specifically about those who have, by faith, accepted the truth. And what we learn, even in verse 5, especially in verse 5, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within us, has been flooded. That word means to flood, flooded within us. So what we've learned is that God's love permeates, not only permeates, but comes pouring out of us. His love is poured out in us, and it, it is an over and excessive amount of love. So then what we looked at last week is a description of that love. Starting in verse 6, 7, and 8, we looked at a description of how God gave us a gift. That gift is Jesus Christ. That gift was Christ coming and dying for us. And because of that, we have forgiveness. We have total, complete forgiveness by God because of his death, because of what he has done. But he gets to the end of that in verse 8. He says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, diametrically opposed to God, Christ died for us. And then he gets to verse 9. And what I want to look at today is a greater gift. You look at that and you say, well, now wait a second. The gift of God sending Jesus Christ was an amazing gift. Because without that, we could never have been forgiven. He facilitated our forgiveness. When he died on the cross, he said, it is finished. The sins of the world were placed upon Jesus Christ. He became sin for us in order that we might have the opportunity, catch that? The opportunity to become the righteousness of God in him. In him. So it's all about being in Christ. And we're going to see that even again today. But that was the gift that was given. But what he has for us is an even greater gift. Look at verse 9. He says, much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. Much more then. Now, I want you to see that, because much more then is emphatic. In the original language, it's emphatic. It's like Paul saying, wait a second. I just told you this great gift, and God demonstrates his love toward us and all of that, but something is even greater. Much more than that. You see, much more than what? Much more than Christ dying? How can you get much more than Christ dying? There's a greater gift. There's another aspect to this that we need to understand. It's an example. Remember, right here, he's describing the love of God. So it's an example of the poured forth love of God. It's not just poured into where we say, oh, that's a great amount. No, it's much more than that. This, look at this, he says, much more than that, having now been justified by his blood. Now remember, justification, and we'll see this in the next several weeks, we'll see that justification goes to the world. God's forgiveness is extended to the world. But here specifically, it's talking about those who have taken that, who have accepted that forgiveness. Much more than having been justified by his blood, according, his blood was what? The payment. His blood was the payment. According to Scripture, there is no forgiveness without a blood sacrifice, according to Hebrews. We shall be saved from the wrath through him. We shall be saved. The word shall be saved is in the passive tense. In other words, God's will do that. We shall be saved from the wrath. So what I want to look at then is the wrath. There is wrath with God? I mean, I thought God's anger was satisfied on the cross about sin. And that's what we read in Scripture. It's true. Jesus Christ paid the penalty of sin. A perfect sacrifice he was, so that we could have total, complete forgiveness. And we have that. It is extended. It is offered to the world. And we'll see that even today. We'll see that in the word reconcile. But it's offered to the world. But he says, we will be saved. In verse 9, it says, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. And the words of God is not in the original. It's just the wrath through him. So even though God's anger, God's wrath was pacified on the cross, there is still an aspect to God's wrath that will happen. If we go into Revelation, what we see there is what's called the lake of fire. And I believe that is the ultimate wrath of God. You look through Revelation, you talk about tribulation, the tribulational period. There the wrath of God is extended to the earth, right to the world. So there is an aspect of the wrath of God that will happen. The lake of fire is made for who? It's made for Satan and his followers. The wrath of God is not towards sin in general. It's toward one specific aspect of sin, and that is unbelief. That is a rejection of the gift that God has given. that wrath at ignoring or rejecting the gift, the only way of salvation. And that way of salvation is given to the world. We'll see that. But it's through him. Through whom? Through Jesus Christ. Through what he has done. Through his death, burial, his resurrection. What we're going to look at a little bit is the sphere of his work, his life, his resurrection. Look at verse 10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, again, there's the emphatic right there in the middle, much more than that, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You see, there's an aspect to this that we didn't look at last week so much because we were concerned about the death of Christ and what that meant. But Jesus Christ also rose from the dead. Jesus Christ also lives today. His life is the key to our salvation. His death is the key to our forgiveness. His life is the key to our salvation. You see that here? According to verse 10, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, since we were reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Salvation comes by his life. The life that he gives us. The life that is in Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important to understand being in Christ and Christ being in us. It's different than knowing about Christ and knowing about his work and about who he is. The difference is that we possess his life, that he has installed his life in us, knowing that we have salvation. Look what it says in verse 10. While we were enemies... Now, that word if is that word, it's a first class condition. In other words, you can put since in there. Since while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Think about that for a minute. Because what did we talk about last week? I mean, if someone was a ceremonially good man, you know, kind of a religious man, very few people might want to go ahead and give their life for that kind of person. But if somebody was a really good person and lived the truth and lived out, you know, their stand and was very moral, well, a few more people would think about it. But look what he says here. He's talking about enemies. Because what did he say even to that? In verse 7, he said... in verse 8 he said, but God demonstrated his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, he died for us. It wasn't like we were good people, just really, you know, he was thinking about maybe I should send Christ. No, while we were sinners. And look at verse 10. While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. So in other words, sinners is related to enemies. God looked at us, people, as enemies. Now, the verb there, the word is in, it can be either an active or the passive. If it's in the active, that means someone, an enemy, would be someone who is hating God. If it's in the passive, it's someone who is hated by God. Now, that's not in a personal relationship type of way. It's in a way that is diametrically opposed to God. In other words, on the opposite spectrum of the nature of God, God's love. Completely against God's love, which would be sinful. But he said, even since while we were in that completely diametrically opposed position away from God, totally not wanting anything to do with God, we were reconciled to him, according to verse 10. We were reconciled to God through the death of his son. There is something much more to having salvation. There's something much more, which is salvation. But I want to look at that word reconciled. Because we're reconciled. The word reconciled is brought together to alter or to change. To change the relationship by paying for sin. All right, and it's in the passive voice, which means that God did this. God reconciled. And I want you to look it up. Through the sphere of the death of his son. Through what happened on the cross. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Fascinating section. And it goes along very good with the latter part of Romans chapter 5. We'll get to it. But it's talking about reconcile. Now, remember, reconcile, that's a big word, two-bit theological word, I like to call them. Something that you don't use all the time. But it means to alter the relationship, to change it from being diametrically opposed to God to being in sync with God. To change it by what Christ did was pay for sin on the cross, and because he did that, he made a relationship possible. So where there couldn't be one, now there is. It is available. Okay? It is one. All right. Start in verse 14, I believe. I'm in 1 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians. It'd be a better idea. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. let's do this one page at a time. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Start in verse 14. I want you to see this because it's amazing how this looks. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all. There's Christ. Therefore, all died. And he died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him no longer this way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, here's the key, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all new things have come. Now, all these things are from God who, here it is, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. All right? He gave us the ministry. He gave us, literally, this is the gospel. He gave us the ministry, the stewardship of sharing this truth. And here it is. Here's this truth. Verse 19. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling who? The world. You catch that? Reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. You see, God in Christ, because of the death of Christ, he reconciled, he changed the relationship of the whole world to himself. He no longer counts the trespasses of the whole world against them. In other words, everyone in the world has forgiveness of sins. Catch that? Keep going. It gets fascinating. Verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. He's talking about Christians there. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Why is it that God has reconciled the world to himself, but Paul here is saying, hey, we are begging people, be reconciled to God. God has reconciled all to himself, but not all have reconciled themselves to God. Not everyone has reconciled themselves to God. How do we do that? Through belief, through the faith of Abraham, through trusting in what Jesus Christ has done, and the fact that he has risen from the dead. But he didn't stay in the grave. He rose from the dead and brings us new life. Look what the last verse says. He made him, one of my favorite verses, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him, so that we might have the opportunity to become the righteousness of God in him. He made Christ to be sin on the world's behalf. Gave that as a gift to the world. And yet he gives the opportunity to become the righteousness of God in him also. He gives the opportunity. It's not forced upon anyone. You're going to see in this that it's a choice. Keep going here in verse 10. If while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through his death, we have that reconciliation, much greater gift is having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And you see the excitement building in Paul. Much, much more than this. Having been reconciled, we shall be saved. Future salvation, being assured by God and with God instead of future wrath. You see the contrast here? The wrath will happen. There will be wrath for those who do not accept this gift, for those who do not receive it. And in fact, we'll see that. Keep going. Look at verse 11. And not only this, you see, it's so amazing here, because if you read it in the original, it's like Paul is just, he's bouncing at this point. And Christ died, but so much more is this. And not only this, and look at this aspect of it. All right, he'll calm down, because he gets back to his lawyer self here pretty soon. But he says, not only this, but we also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Not only this, not this alone, not, it's a reaction to this greater gift. Not this alone, but we exalt. It's the same word as in verse 1. It's the same word as in verse 3. Not only this, we also exalt in our tribulation, but also it's also in verse something else. 2. It's in verse 2. And we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. And we're not only that, but we exalt in tribulation. Okay, it's the same aspect of rejoice. We thrill in this. Why, you know, what we look at in tribulation, why would we thrill in tribulation? Why would we rejoice in that? Because we know that what it's going to build. Perseverance, proven character, hope. A true hope that means we know exactly that God is in control and what he is doing in our life. We don't know exactly how he's working in our life, but we know that he is. And we can rely on that knowledge. We can rely on that truth that he is working. Even though sometimes we don't like what's happening in our life. But you know what? His wisdom's better than ours. His wisdom's better than ours. You know what's going to be fun? Someday in heaven, when we're all together like this again. Not like this exactly. But anyway, when we're all there. Okay, let's go for a couple thousand years from now. When we're all there, and we get to look back and say, oh, that's why we did that. Oh, that's what God was doing. I thought he had forsaken me. I thought I was all alone in this, but that's why God did that. You know, I keep coming back to my being a pastor here. We came down here in 1990, and 6 months later, I resigned. And I sat up here, right up here. I sat right there, right under there. And I wept, and I said, God, what in the world is going on? I don't understand this at all. And I didn't. Sometimes I still don't. But I see what God has done in the process of that. And what he did in my life, and what he needed to do in my life, and what he still needs to. See, I understand, because of what you go through, because you can exalt in. I'm on the wrong sermon. Okay, get back to this sermon. Verse 11, we already did that. And not only this, but we also exalt, rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through the sphere of Christ, through whom we have now received. I want you to see that. It's a very important word here. Through whom we have now received the reconciliation. What I read you in 2 Corinthians, that God has reconciled the world to himself. God forgave the sins of the world. He could not coexist with sin. He forgave the sins of the world through Jesus Christ. He reconciled. He changed the relationship so that we can now go to him. But if you look at this, it says, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. The word received is lambano in the original. It means to take hold of, to acquire, to collect, to come to believe, to grasp this, to hang on to it. It means that what Christ has done, he did for the world, but not the whole world will experience it. It means we have
a choice. We choose wrath by not believing, by rejecting the truth. We choose salvation by receiving, by grasping that reconciliation, that justification, that truth of Jesus Christ, that He died to pay for our sins, that He rose again to give us new life, to give us salvation. You see, it's not just that Christ died. It's that He rose again, that He is giving new life. That's where salvation's at. His death gave us forgiveness. His life, His resurrection gave us new life, gave us salvation. And we get to experience it if we have received that reconciliation, if we have accepted it, if we have grasped it, if we have believed, just like Abraham. Just like Abraham had to believe, had to have faith. We do too. It still requires belief, which is a human response to the truth. People have a choice. God's love, I want you to catch this, because if you have received this truth, if you are a Christian, then God's love, according to verse 5, is poured into you in such a way that it floods you. But it is poured out of you, that it pours into you in such a way that it comes out so that others can see that. You know why? Because according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we as ambassadors of Christ, we have the ministry, the stewardship of reconciliation. In other words, we get to tell people that. We get to show others that. How do we do that? By the love of God being poured out of us. I saw it was really neat. Saw it on the news. I think it was yesterday. Saw it on the news. Kirk Cameron, he's a Christian movie guy, movie star guy. Anyway, he's very pronounced in his faith. And he was on a talk show deal where they were asking him some questions about something he had said. And it had been taken completely out of context. His wife stays home and raises their six children. And people had taken it as a slam against ladies who work. And it's completely not what he meant, not what he said or anything. And they were commenting on this. And they said, well, don't you just, you know they took it out of context. You know they did it on purpose. And he said, God tells us to love our enemies, to do good to those who spitefully use us. He says, I choose to believe that they just didn't understand it, just didn't catch the meaning of what I was trying to say. And as I was listening to that, I thought, that right there is the love of God poured into him so much that it's just spilling out. So that others can see, you know what? God doesn't represent wrath. He represents love. He has wrath. It is there. But His total nature is that of love. And we as Christians have the opportunity to tell people, you know what? God has reconciled you to Himself. He has forgiven your sins. And guess what? He rose again so that you can have life. You need to receive that reconciliation. You need to grasp it, to hold on, to grab it. To give up yourself, your independence, and be dependent upon Him. God has done the work through Christ in His blood, His death, and His resurrection. These are gifts to be received or to be rejected. Freely given, freely received, or freely rejected. And they can only be done by faith, just like Abraham. Question is, have you ever received that reconciliation? Have you ever received that justification? Because the world's been justified. The world, and we'll see that in the next several weeks. The world's been reconciled. We have forgiveness. But not everyone in the world will benefit from that. Because there is an aspect of choice. There is a choice in which we can accept that or we can reject it. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ, then you have rejected that truth. Or you just have been ignorant to it. But what I want you to see here is that it is truth. And it is God's only way of salvation. His death gave us forgiveness. His resurrection has given us an opportunity for new life. Accept that today. If you have received that reconciliation. If you are a Christian today, then know this. Your life is God's love being poured forth. Your life is what people see. Is how people see that they're not only forgiven, but they have life. They have new life. And that is the greater gift than even his death. It's a greater gift. It's a gift that gives us something that will last for eternity. The life of God in you. His love flooding your life. Let's close in prayer.